Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your boy James, aka Hollywood J Black, live in the building once again. Just letting you guys know that today's show is going to be a little bit smaller than our normal shows. Today's show is going to be strictly the NFL show that we do on Saturday nights. However, on Wednesday, we're dropping a big, big show, mainly Hollywood Report. We're going to be talking about the James Harden saga. We're going to be talking about the kid that basically speared a referee in Texas and got his whole team banned. And other news as it comes developing. So make sure you watch today's show if you want to get your NFL fix. But come back on Wednesday and we'll definitely have everything that we need for you in the world of sports. So join us now for that damn NFL show and holla at us. Deuces. Well, is it ready? Wait, it's not playing. All right, let's get this started.
You did not hit share audio, probably.
Didn't you hear it?
No, it is not playing.
It's playing on my end.
Yes, oh, shit. Hi, everybody. There we go.
Sometimes shit goes wrong. We are not perfect individuals. But you know who's no longer perfect? Those damn Pittsburgh Steelers.
We called that shit.
Called it right down the middle. But let's not waste any time. This is the NFL Rundown. That damn NFL show. NFL Fallout. All that shit. I'm your man, Hollywood J Black. That's my man, Big Sin. How you doing, Big Sin?
I'm doing well. Got to sit at a weird angle, but I'm good.
So am I. Just to let you guys kind of know, I had to switch up the angles a little bit. Things kind of moving a little bit different because I had to take on a little second job, so I can't have nobody walk behind me at my job. So I said, okay, fine. I guess I'll have to do it in my bedroom. Is what it is.
Oh, because the blinds and the curtain were not enough, sir.
Yes, the blinds and the curtains were not enough, okay?
So I see you got college football in the back over there.
Yeah.
And I know people going to get mad at me. I know people going to get mad at me real quick, but you know that chick who's kicking for Vanderbilt, I think?
Yeah.
She made an extra point today, and they had to give her smelling salts on the sideline because of her celebration.
What did they do?
I'm like, it's an extra point. Make a 30-plus yard field goal or actually kick the ball off farther than 20 yards. Anyway, this is the week 13 rundown.
Listen, Vanderbilt needs to celebrate something because they haven't celebrated shit.
They probably lost the goddamn game too, and it's basically just mental assaults.
Well, she only kicked one extra point. I think it's safe to say that they lost the game. I mean, I'm no expert.
Unless their defense is really good.
This isn't 2001 Baltimore Ravens, okay? This isn't their defense isn't stacked with studs. Matter of fact, I'm gonna tell you a name that's on this defense real quick. Vanderbilt football roster. There we go. Have some guy on their quarterback. His name is Amir Abdul Rahman, okay? That's right. Something. And with some names like Gabe Julie Lally, okay? Those are Gabe Julie Lally.
Hit the hoochie wally wally hoochie wally wally hoochie bang bang.
How come there are 10-2 niggas with the same number 8? Defensive lineman Alex Williams and quarterback Ken Seals, who's a freshman.
Why the defensive lineman wearing number 8?
I have no fucking
idea. Does he want to be a quarterback? Is that what the deal is?
He wants to be the great mound of touchdown, like our old boy from Kentucky, God rest his soul. With such names as Wesley Schelling and Brayton Bapst.
What?
That's right, Brayton Bapst.
That is the whitest name I've ever heard in college. But it's Vanderbilt, you know. Who knows?
Here you go, a guy that should have went to Rutgers, but his name, but he ended up at Vanderbilt. His name is Rutger Rietmeyer. How did you not get into Rutgers? That's the question I have. Like Rutgers should have gave him a scholarship just because his name was Rutgers. Okay.
College application. My name.
These all stars. Okay. Hold on. Wait. You want to know? Let's see if they won this game. No, they didn't win this game. They're 0-9. What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, she kicked 2 extra points, huh? And a field goal? Holy shit.
How long was the field goal?
Huh?
How long was the field goal?
I'm trying to figure it out. Hold on.
Maybe they just let us throw it in. I don't know, because I seen that first kickoff she did last week. It ran directly off the field.
Let's see. Yeah, she kicked the field goal. Wait a minute. Where's the field goal?
I think it's live.
Oh no, they didn't. She didn't kick a field goal. Some dude named Pearson Cook kicked the field goal. So wait a minute. You can't even trust him to kick a 39-yarder?
Hence my statement earlier. Kick a 30-plus-yard field goal or a good kickoff, then you need spelling salts for a celebration. Okay?
I'm a do like Cardi B says. That's suspicious. That's weird. Here, kick this 30-yard extra point. But no, you can't kick this 39-yarder. 39 yards is 9 yards too much, young lady. Okay, 9 yards too much. We don't want to put that kind of stress on you. Okay. Jesus fucking Christ. But anyways, this isn't the College Game Day show. This is that damn NFL show where we tell you what happened last week in the NFL and how we fared with our predictions. And then we make more predictions and hopefully we don't end up in a shithole like we did sometime around this time last year where we just screwed up everything in the back half of the season.
Well, okay, so week 13 – I gained a game on you. So
okay.
I went 11-4, you went 10-5. So it was actually a good week.
So we're gonna go over the games that we lost and won. But we were right about Washington, weren't we?
Yes, we were. Let's go ahead and talk about that. So Alex Smith did something very smart. Did you see what Alex Smith did?
No. Would you tell the fans what he did, sir?
So they got a free timeout because as they were going on fourth down,
because
they already used all their timeouts, so they were sending in the field goal unit.
Yeah.
As you know, they use a different ball for field goals.
Yeah.
Alex Smith picked up the ball that was on the field and took it to the sideline with him. So the referees couldn't find the ball. They had to get a new ball in there, thus calling a referee timeout.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute.
And it was legal. It was legal until today when the NFL banned players from doing it. That crafty old vet, Alex.
God damn it. He's given his arm, his shoulder, his leg, and his brain to the game, okay?
And did you see the photos? He got stepped on by a cleat on his bad leg and did not realize he was gushing blood on the fucking on the field on the sideline.
Yeah, he didn't feel it because, you know, his leg barely has any nerves.
And what he said, he's like, we get stepped on all the time. You kind of grow used to it.
That's suspicious. That's weird.
But yeah, Alex Smith exploited a rule that is no longer in the NFL because the Pittsburgh Steelers bitched and moaned and moaned and bitched because they lost to the default team.
They deserve to lose, though. Listen, we question if there were actually what would happen. A team that was on a hot streak was going to go against the Pittsburgh Steelers that was barely eking out wins. Remember, we questioned
a team that was on a hot streak and has a good defense.
Yes. We questioned this. We said, what would happen if this was the case? And we said that it may not end up in their favor, right? Isn't that what we talked about?
Yep.
And that's the reason why we picked it, because we said a team that was struggling to win games before versus a team that is one of the hottest teams in the NFL, when they were Washington was riding a two-win streak coming into this game. We already knew, we've seen this before. We've seen the same story last year. When the hottest team against a team that was struggling comes up, we've seen it. And that's exactly what happened. But my big question is now, what are the Steelers going to bring to the table this time? We'll talk about it now. But isn't that kind of worrisome that a test, okay, an actual test, they failed it miserably?
Yeah. It's worrisome because the next matchup – is against the Bills.
Yeah, a team that gives zero fucks about who you are, where you're from, what you claim, whatever. And it's a team that, to me, is they're still in the conversation of if they get their shit together, they're a Super Bowl team. You know what I'm saying? There's some things that have to be eked out. But I'm glad that the only thing that I think that came from it is that I'm glad that Pittsburgh finally took this L so they could realize there are certain parts of the game where they suck at. So hopefully they fixed it. We'll talk about it when we talk about the game. But shout out to Washington, man. Everybody had written them off. Shit, I've written them off.
But now they almost 500 in the division.
Yeah, they have the division lead. The NFC East just might not completely suck at all.
No, because there's another big shocker came out of the NFC East this week. And let's just talk about that right now, too. Colt McCoy in the New York Football Giants beat the Seattle Seahawks. I will say that again. Colt McCoy, a guy who in college said he couldn't feel his arm no more, beat the Seattle Seahawks.
There's a reason why I'm eating a sandwich.
Because the Seahawks didn't feed DK Metcalf? Is that why you're eating a sandwich right now? Oh, I got before you get on to that, I wanna tell you about this stat real quick, okay? Hold on. And this might come to a surprise, because I should have mentioned it while we were talking about the Bills.
Okay.
But check this out. It's so you know our boy Cole Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
This season, he has more yards than AJ Brown, more receptions than DK Metcalf, more yards per reception than DeAndre Hopkins, more touchdowns than Julio Jones, and more 100-yard games than Tyreek Hill.
And that's who?
That's Cole Beasley.
Jesus Christ. Wow, that is an interesting stat. And you know why? It's because of Stephon Diggs being the decoy, basically.
And giving up on plays. Cole Beasley never gives up on a play.
Never. Never. So, listen. So to the Seattle Seahawks, you see how I just fed myself that sandwich that I just ate? You see how I just scarfed it down, stuffed it, put it in my mouth, ate the whole thing?
Put it in your mouth.
That's exactly what needed to be done.
Yeah, yeah, John, are we interrupting this motherfucker's dinner?
Yeah, yes. Interrupting dinner. You know why? Because, listen, we talked about this last week. What did we say that Seattle, all they had to do?
Was feed DK Metcalf.
Did they feed DK Metcalf?
I doubt it. It's the only way they lost is by not feeding him.
Okay. So by not feeding DK Metcalf, what happened?
They lost to Colt McCoy.
So the safe to say, and I'm just throwing this one out here, just spitballing this one. So what you're saying is that if they keep feeding DK Metcalf,
then Russell Wilson will still be in the MVP voting.
And there it is. There it is.
Surprised they haven't put DK in the Wildcat. They have a couple times this year, and it didn't work. That's why they don't do it anymore.
No, you should have put DK in at halfback.
Yeah, because they ain't got no running backs on the team. So yeah. let me pull up his stats real quick. DK Metcalf had. Okay, so the Seahawks only scored 12 points. The highest scoring team in the NFL only scored 12 points against the 24th ranked defense in the NFL. So Seahawks. What we got here? Oh no, DK Metcalf had 5 catches for 80 yards. So he had a 16-yard average.
So how many throws did they give did Russell Wilson throw?
Russell threw 27 of 43.
So
a pick in 20, one game.
So only 20% less than 20% of Russell Wilson's completions went to DK Metcalf. How many times was DK Metcalf targeted?
I don't know. we're on the other side of the ball. Colt McCoy went 13 of 22 for 105 yards, a touchdown, and an interception.
What about the running back? Was it Devontae Freeman or is he out for the season?
No, Alfred Morris had 8 catches and a touch at 8 rushes and a touchdown. Gallman had the big day with 16 carries and 135 yards.
Jesus Christ. How did they win?
17 to 12. That's how.
The number one ranked offense in the NFL was completely shut down and stymied by the number 24th ranked
defense in the NFL.
Which just goes to show you that defense wins championships no matter how bad it is. Okay. Yep.
All right, so let's just burn down this lineup this week. There were not a lot of interesting games. The Falcons blew it against the Saints.
Are you surprised? But okay.
But Taysom Hill, well, we both picked the Falcons, so a little bit. Taysom Hill actually threw 2 passing touchdowns in this game.
Okay, fine. I'll say he's a somewhat legitimate quarterback.
The Falcons continue to do what they do. Play good, play shit, play good, play shit, play good, play shit, play good, play shit. Rinse and repeat. All right, next up, we had a good game until the second quarter where the Browns exploded for 40 points against the Tennessee Titans.
I didn't see this coming.
I picked the Browns, you picked the Titans.
No, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see them go exploding for 40, but I mean, the best part about it is I was singing the praises of Baker Mayfield while picking the Titans. Baker Mayfield is a great quarterback without Odell Beckham Jr. I praise him, and then yet somehow
still pick the Titans. And it's one of those things that's with the Browns is death by a thousand cuts. That's what it is.
Yes.
They'll beat you running, they'll beat you receiving, they'll beat you everything.
Beat you on defense. They'll just make you look all bad. But did Derrick Henry get his? That's the question I have. That's what we want to know. Did Derrick Henry get his?
I'm sure Derrick Henry did because he always seems to.
We just need. I just need somebody to blame. That's all. Just want to make sure I
can properly blame. I'm going to put the blame on the guy who's been not performing well the last few weeks, and his name is Ryan Tannehill. I didn't say test my speed. I said NFL Week 13. God damn it.
So is the real Ryan Tannehill showing up?
I think it is. Because remember, it showed up in the playoff game against the Chiefs last year.
Well, it showed up in the last quarter.
All their losses this year, the Ryan Tannehill of Miami soapy fame has shown up and thrown just interception after interception after interception. Let's see. So this game was 41-35. The Titans got back into it in junk time.
Yeah.
But the Browns, let's see here. Come on.
The Browns are the Browns. The Browns.
Come on, Cletus.
Come on, Cletus. Come on.
All right. So Baker Mayfield went for 334 and four touchdowns in this game.
Okay.
Let's go see what Mr. Armadillo Head did. Derrick Henry had 15 carries for 60 yards. That is not going to win you a football game.
Oh, they got beat on all fronts. They got beat on offense, defense, special teams. It's everything, huh?
The Titans, are they not as good as we thought they were?
Oh, no, they are. Sometimes just run into a better team. And it's either we praise the Browns or we shit on the Titans. I mean,
okay, they're both good football teams.
Yes, but sometimes a good football team runs into a better football team.
All right, so next up we have Tank Bowl. Nick Foles is healthy, but they still decide to start Mitchell Trubisky against the Lions, and the Lions beat the Bears.
I can't trust them. Shit, can't trust Nick Foles. No, sorry, Doggo was acting up. You can't trust Nick Foles. You can't trust Mitchell Trubisky. At this point, you might as well find out what Chase Daniel is doing, because you can't trust neither one quarterback, and it's just going to be all bad. It's just all bad. You're right. This is Tank Bowl. They don't have any options. They don't have any choices unless they call a certain guy whose name shall remain nameless.
Yes, because I will leave now if you say it. I will hobble my ass somewhere, okay?
But I mean, did we pick the Bears last week?
No, we picked the Lions, so we're good.
Oh okay, yay.
We said it. We don't trust the Bears. That's exactly what we said.
Yes, I remember. Yes, dude, who we trust more than the Bears? Jay Cutler. That's who.
Jay Cutler smoking a cigarette next to a cheerleader.
Smoking Jay Cutler, baby.
Next up, we have the Dolphins handling business and beating the beat-up Bengals.
They were almost in trouble in this game.
Yeah, but then Tua Tagovailoa got his head out of his ass and started performing.
Yes. What the heck? So the big thing about it is, the crazy part about it is that they really, really, really – I mean, the Dolphins need this win because they took an L a couple weeks ago. Or this was last week. A couple weeks ago. Yep. They really took a really bad L. And so with this, they're supposed to beat the Bengals, so nobody's surprised. But do the Dolphins still look like a playoff team now? Are they still a playoff team?
They're still a playoff team. They currently hold the 7 seed in the AFC.
Yes.
And so the Raiders still have a worse record, so they're still looking in.
Yeah. So there's that. So, I mean, hopefully they can go figure it out and fix it soon. I'm not sure. Hopefully we get a I don't know. I would like to see the Dolphins back in the playoffs, although I think Tua needs another year. I'm not sure. He's okay. He's great. Or should I say the Dolphins need another year?
Yeah. And Brian Flores is coaching his ass off.
Yeah. I just think that if the Dolphins had to run into whoever's in the second seed,
which if Pittsburgh drops another game, it'll be Pittsburgh.
Yeah, then it's going to be a problem, a big problem, a big problem.
All right, next up we have the Minnesota Vikings beating the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, again, not a surprise since they were supposed to lose. It's, I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars are supposed to lose.
The Jaguars have initiated tank mode, and they're starting Mike Glennon for the rest of the season with a healthy Gardner Minshew on the bench.
I mean, protect your asset, because if Gardner Minshew gets hurt now.
They're hoping the Jets win a game so that they can move into that number one spot and draft Trevor Lawrence. That's what they're doing.
Which they almost did, damn it. They almost fucking blew it.
All right, next up we have the Colts beating the Texans.
I'm sorry. We lost that game, didn't we?
You did. I picked the Colts.
Why you gotta call me out?
Because you said we.
We're a team, Phil. We're a team. You're supposed to believe in us, okay?
I believe in you, but I also believe in me, okay?
So, I really thought the Texans had turned a corner. Apparently, that corner that they turned was into the ghetto. And that's exactly what happened.
Ghetto. 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 Ghetto living.
Yeah, they turned a right on the Jabroni Drive and Know Your Role Boulevard, and the Colts were sitting right there, waiting to let them into the SmackDown Hotel, where they consistently laid the smack-up down on their candy ass.
All right, so yeah, the Colts won that game. The Colts are looking like a dominant team. They could give Kansas City an issue.
Oh, this Colts team is legit. I think Phillip Rivers isn't scared of anybody. This is the most experienced quarterback under the Frank Reich era. So I honestly think that whoever the Colts play, they're going to give him fits inside the playoffs.
All right, next up, the game you just mentioned before this, the Jets went cover zero on a Hail Mary, and Greg Williams got fired.
Have you ever seen a play call so bad that it causes you to get fired the next day? Has that ever happened?
No. Here's the funny part about this. I wanted to bring this up to you on this video. Adam Gase, in the interview after, said he was talking to another coach, not the defense, and he wasn't paying attention to the field, and then all he heard over the headset was zero. That's what Adam Gase says. In my opinion, Adam Gase was like, do it, Greg. We're going 0-16. And then proceeded to use Greg Williams as a scapegoat, which he deserves to be because he's a piece of shit.
Well, yeah. Listen, we're not going to deny that Greg Williams is a piece of shit, okay? The problem I have is him being laid to blame for all the Jets' woes this season. The Jets are a terrible team, complete through and through.
They're terrible coach. They got terrible players. He said Adam Gase is a dude that just has it on play mini selector Madden.
It's just his next on play select?
Cover zero.
Whatever. Coach's selection.
He said he turned around and just saw Henry Ruggs sprinting down the field. That's all he said.
Listen, as a defensive captain, you should have known if you hear cover zero, the first thing you say is my coach on crack?
No, the first thing you say is, no. We're about to win. No.
I would have called a completely different play with the person on the field. See, that's when you need a defensive captain that says, you know what? No, this is not right.
But it's the Jets, so they probably don't have that.
Your defensive captain. It's probably like a rookie or some shit. I don't know. But the whole point is this.
The guy who hasn't seen him play this year.
The Jets are a terrible team. If you're going to fire somebody, fire everyone. Everybody's held accountable for this fuckery of a...
It's like this. Click.
Mm-hmm.
Let the grenade cook. Blow it up.
Blow it up. Fucking even sell the team because this is bullshit. That's
yeah,
what
their ownership is trash too.
Yeah, just sell the fucking team. I've never seen a place where everything is horrible. Like, there's no redeeming qualities about the New York Jets.
Frank Gore is the only redeeming quality on that team.
But that's Frank Gore. Frank Gore is supersedes anything that the Jets could put on the field talent-wise.
All right, next up, we had the Rams dismantle the Cardinals.
It's shocking. I think I picked the Cardinals, didn't I?
We both did. Mm.
Shocking.
This Rams team is an enigma this year. They'll get blown out by a trash-ass team and then go ahead and reel off 5 victories against good teams.
I mean, you're not lying. I'm just saying. Listen, it's all bad. I'm still trying to sort out and fathom what happened to the fucking Cardinals this year. Like,
they were so good.
Mm-hmm. And we said they were ready to take the next step, and they lied to us. We were lying.
I kind of put the blame on the coaching there.
I think it's because Cliff Kingsbury is kind of new. You know what I'm saying?
He's still using the college playbook.
Yeah. At some point, you got to throw that shit out and go with your gut and your heart. You know what I mean?
Because this is the same exact offense they ran last year.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know.
Put DeAndre Hopkins. And Larry Fitzgerald has been out, and he's the glue that holds that team together.
Yeah, it's all bad. It's all bad. All right. No lie. It's all bad.
Next up, nobody saw this coming, but for the first time in 83 games, the LA Chargers were held under 10 points. As a matter of fact, they were completely blanked in a 45-0 shellacking by the New England Patriots.
Bill Belichick stays undefeated when it comes to rookie quarterbacks.
Nope, he's 5-2.
5-2, but he stays owning rookie quarterbacks. At least that hasn't changed this year.
I felt bad for Justin Herbert because the Patriots' defense was in the backfield so fast. This man is 6'6", and he actually had to jump to get the fucking ball over the defender because they were on him that quick.
It was one of those things that even Anthony Lynn was not prepared for this one. At some point, you have to tell when you know that Bill Belichick is going to come for your rookie quarterback, you have to limit how much your rookie quarterback has the ball in his hand, okay? That's when you turn loose the running game. Why has nobody learned this yet? But like, then, I don't get that.
It didn't help the fact that New England got up 21 in, like, 10 minutes.
Again, by putting the confusing the fuck out of a rookie quarterback, destroying his psyche and ego in the middle of a game, it'll do that. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
And what sir hurts the most is getting dabbed on by Stidham. Yeah, when Cam Newton walked over to Jared Stidham, he's like, put your arm like this. And
God damn. God damn.
Because Jared Stidham came in, they were up 38-0, and Jared Stidham's dropping back to pass.
Hold on. I'm going to see if I can get – I'm going to find that 2K5 sound – NFL 2K5 sound bite. Give me a second. Because John just brought up a very interesting point in this whole shit.
Yeah, but that shit was funny. Fucking Cam holding Stidham's arms and teaching him how to dab. Hey, butt your elbow. Hey, butt your elbow.
2K5. Where is it? Let me see. So there was a quote they used to say when you used to get your ass whooped in NFL 2K5. And the quote was, and I quote, they were outmanned, outplayed, outcoached, out-hustled, and out everything. It was that bad. I couldn't even tell you anything the Chargers did right in that game. Well, special teams was even worse than that.
Yeah, because Gunner had a 70-yard kickoff return, and the very next one, he went for another 60. He almost set the Patriots' record for punt returns in his first 3 returns.
I'm starting to think that Bill Belichick really, really hates the San Diego Chargers, L.A. Chargers. No matter what city that they're from, he hates them.
But Damian Thompson sitting in his helmet crying on the sideline because they thought they were going to the Super Bowl.
You thought wrong.
He's the only one to successfully shut down Antonio Gates in his heyday.
I'm telling you, he has a particular hatred in his blood for him. I don't know what it is, but he really doesn't like the Chargers as an organization, as a team, and as a crew. I'm convinced of that to this day.
All right, next up, we have the game where the ginger quarterback lost his job as the Packers beat the Eagles.
So
we got to see what we have at Jalen Hurst, just in case we have to draft a quarterback this year.
So when I saw Carson Wentz no longer take the field and Jalen Hurts take the field, I had to think to myself, and I said, "How do I say goodbye to this redhead injury prone QB?"
Alone.
Yes, the good times when Frank Reich was your coach. That seems like a long time ago.
Hold on. And Nick Foles was your backup.
Oh yes. I thought you'd get to see the playoffs, but you're 3-8-1
because you did not lose to the Bengals.
Yes, because Doug Peterson did not lose to the Bengals. Ooh.
And that's all we're going to say about that game. So the next game, Tyreek Hill got screwed out of 2 touchdowns in the Chiefs-Broncos game.
You know what? Tyreek Hill is too fast. He deserves to be screwed out of something, okay?
Well, okay. The first one, the defender tackled him. The ball popped up in the end zone.
Uh-huh.
And on the instant replay, it showed he caught the ball. But nobody challenged him. So that's one. The second one, he did that bullshit where he burned the defender so bad he fell down and tried to do the backflip in the end zone, and one of his offensive linemen held. Where's those old football folly tapes? That's what we need right now.
Goddamn. So the Chiefs are just continuing to roll. The Chiefs are a way better team than the Steelers. The Steelers are not going to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. I'm sorry. They're not. The Steelers are not going to beat the Chiefs. Anybody who thinks that they are is smoking crack.
You don't crack, no?
The Chiefs continue to dominate and find ways to dominate over and over again, even when Tyreek Hill is getting screwed out of touchdowns. So.
Well, he's going to end up getting hurt if he keeps doing that fucking backflip into the end zone, because somebody's going to take a cheap shot on him and say, fuck it, I'll take the suspension. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of cheap shots, later on in the podcast, I'm going to have to talk about, well, it'll probably be recorded by the time we do all this done. I got to talk about that cheap shot that Texas football player, high school football player, did on a referee.
The one that got his whole team banned from the playoffs, yes.
Yes.
All right, so at this point on Sunday, I was like, all right, John, all right, James, I need the 49ers to do me a solid, beat the Bills. And what happened? Nope. No. Josh Allen and Cole Beasley happened to the 49ers.
I picked the 49ers out of faith, and I thought that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be back, and he wasn't.
He is gone for the season. I told you this 3 times. Stop wishing he was coming back.
I don't believe you.
You're stubborn as shit. Wankovic is too much.
Way too much. Too much sauce, nigga. Too much sauce.
So, yeah, Wankovic was on his game. The game started off really well. You know, a 4th down stop. Then you guys got stopped. Then you guys got a fumble. Then finally scored. And then it all just went to hell after that.
All just went to fucking shit. Shout out to the Bills. They played as well. Blah, 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 blah.
Blagy, blagy, blagy. All right, next up. So the Cowboys defense gives up an average of 186 rushing yards a game. On Tuesday, the Baltimore Ravens ran for 386 yards.
Remember, it is an average, right? That means at some point they gave up no yards, and at some point they gave up the ghost.
But that was going into the game. Now the average is 235 yards a game rushing that they're giving up.
So remember, what did we say about the Ravens? I said they need to get back to running the football again.
Okay.
Mark Ingram showed his coach like, "See, I told you, goddammit. Where's J.K. Dobbins?"
Lamar Jackson had like 170 yards rushing.
Mark Ingram was like, "Shit, tell J.K. to get in the damn field. Fuck it, let's go."
If I look at these stats and Mark Ingram did not play, I'm going to cover my camera.
He didn't play. Mark Ingram is a better cheerleader than he is a running back right now, okay? Just let him cheer and lead. Remember, he came up with trust, okay?
All right, that's it for week 13. We are moving on to week 14. These are our picks. Well, one game already happened, and there's a reason why I said on Sunday I needed the Bills to do the Patriots a favor, because on Thursday the Patriots got their asses whooped. That defensive line of the Rams was on Cam Newton faster than anybody could fucking blink.
In the words of Stephen A. Smith, I have to admit it, I did not see this coming. That wasn't. Sometimes you get an ass.
Hold on. You want to know what the Patriots' playoff chances are now?
What? They gone. Gone. So the reality is that I don't know I don't know how they got their ass whooped this bad after whooping somebody's ass the week before. I think they gave up all that.
In the same stadium.
I'd be pissed off if I was Bill Belichick. And he was. Well, he benched.
Apparently, Cam Newton does have an abdominal injury that he was playing down before this game. Which, of course, you know, abdominal can affect your core and affect you moving around the field.
None of that matters. You know why? Because his whole entire offensive game was schemed poorly. See, the Patriots at least try. Let me rephrase that. Defensively, this game was schemed poorly. You've seen what the Rams can do against the Cardinals 4 days prior, okay? You see how they were going to come at you. And then yet, somehow, some way, conventional wisdom gets thrown out the window because, oh, we beat them 10-7. In the Super Bowl.
Actually, it was 13-3.
Oh, we beat them 13-3 in the Super Bowl. It's no big deal. We got this. Meanwhile, looking like the Joker dancing around. It's okay, guys. We got this. Yeah.
Oh, shit. They are marching all the way down the field on every time they touch the football in the first half.
Oh, my fucking shit. God, listen. I sat there and I'm just like, y'all don't even want to go to the playoffs, huh? I think that's what it is. And so at this point, listen, we can sit here and blame. We can sit here and just blame anybody you want to, right? We can sit here and blame. It all falls on Bill Belichick. That game fell on Bill Belichick. That's the type of game where he needs to say, "My bad, that's on me." Yeah. They schemed poorly. They didn't put people in positions to win poorly. If you knew that Cam Newton was nursing an injury, you shouldn't have played him. He would have put down Tom Brady for less, because he has done it before. Mm-hmm. Where if you knew Tom was injured, get your ass on this bench, nigga, because you're going to compromise a win.
So we talked about the amazing streak that ended for the Chargers last week. Another amazing streak ended on Thursday. And that was the 18 consecutive seasons of double-digit wins for the Patriots. 18 consecutive seasons.
I mean, they could go 9-7, given what the rest of the schedule looks like. It's NFC.
They're all division games. Bills, yeah. Bills, Dolphins, Jets.
Yeah. I mean, it is possible the Bills is going to be a test. The Bills game, would probably it's the last game of the season, right?
Yep. No, the Jets is the last game of the season. I think it goes Bills, Dolphins, Jets.
So, if they want any kind of outside shot and to piss off the Dolphins, they have to win. They have to win out the rest of the season. Like, yeah. That's the only outside shot.
Honestly, and I don't really think they can.
I don't think they can. The Bills are going to be the problem.
Because Dolphins, no, I think the Dolphins are going to be the problem. To be honest with you.
Listen, I think the whole rookie quarterback thing will still apply with Tua. Tua hasn't seen any defense like Bill Belichick can throw it at him. And the closest that he's gotten to is Nick Saban. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to complicated-ass fucking defenses.
But he played for that.
Yeah, but ask Nick Saban how good he did in practice. I mean, that's kind of one of those things. We probably just have to call him and be like, hey, this is Bill. I'm just trying to find out. How good that Tua did in practice.
Because you know Belichick and Saban are really good friends. So.
Yeah, they do okay in your practices. Was your defense just too formidable? Was it tough? It was tough, huh? It was tough. What do you mean he got 7 touchdowns in a single practice session? What? Huh? Oh fuck! Cold red.
But I've already accepted their fate. They're not going to make the playoffs. The Raiders are. Good. The Ravens are good. There's a lot of teams ahead of them that are a lot better than the Patriots this season. So,
I just find it hilarious with the Raiders that back-to-back, well, they lost the game in Kansas City because they had nobody back there, and then they won a game because nobody was back there.
It was almost like Greg Williams was like, I got an idea. Let's do what the Raiders did with Travis Kelce.
Oh my God.
All right, so now it's time for crapshoot picks because who knows what's going to happen. It's week 14. All right, we're starting off with the Titans at the Jaguars.
Fuck.
A pit. Titans is starting, and it's a very pissed off Titans team after what the Browns did to them in one quarter.
Oh. Ooh. The Titans. Titans, Bucks,
Titans, Jaguars.
Oh, that's even worse.
Jaguars. I'm picking the Titans. I don't think Jacksonville can stop this team.
Well, that's the whole point.
Even on their worst day.
I'm not saying that the Titans aren't going to win. I'm just trying to figure out how bad are they going to beat the Jaguars. It's like doing the math.
We don't do point spreads, so that doesn't matter here, sir. You could do that on FanDuel all you want, all right? Next up, we have the up-and-down Minnesota Vikings taking on the up-and-down Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Coming off their bye.
If Tampa Bay doesn't win this game, there's going to be problems. They're already facing scrutiny on the formidable Tampa Bay defense and that stacked Tampa Bay offense.
Tampa Bay offensive defense, like that one, that meme with the black kid who's like,
you know what I'm saying? Stacks, dude. Tampa Bay's got to win this game. They're desperate. They have to.
If they want to keep their playoff spot, because New Orleans has already clinched the playoff berth.
Mm.
So
we're just gonna pray that they can shut them down to where they're not. It's not a good spot. That's the only thing that they can worry about and focus on. So
can the Buccaneers stop Dalvin Cook? Because they haven't stopped the running back in about 3 weeks.
Yikes. I think they can stop Dalvin. I think so.
Buccaneers, so I think you're picking the Bucs?
Yeah, because they ain't got a choice. The Bucs don't have a choice but to win this game. I have to pick the Bucs.
All right, next up we have an interesting matchup. We're going to see how the Kansas City Chiefs play against a defense that gave them fits when he coached in New England, the Miami Dolphins.
Should be interesting. I honestly think, though, given the circumstance, given the situation, I think that Kansas City's got this one.
Yeah, I think Kansas City's going to be too overpowered for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I said it's a teaching game for the young quarterback. That's all. Even though
Tua won a national title and Patrick Mahomes never did. I just don't like Patrick Mahomes.
So, in Patrick Mahomes' defense, he played for Texas Tech.
Yeah, you're right. All right. Next up, we have a game that nobody gives a shit about. It is the Broncos at the Panthers.
Who's quarterbacking the Panthers this week?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Who's quarterbacking the Broncos?
And Drew Lock.
Can we get a little bit of COVID in there and just throw things up in the mix that way we have wide receivers and random QBs playing?
I'm just going to go with the Panthers because they're at home, and I think Christian McCaffrey is playing. So,
I honestly think one day, one of these last games, they should just sprinkle some positive COVID tests in there, you know. Some false positives, get some quarterbacks taken out. You talking
about like the Dez Bryant situation?
Yep.
Get this. Dez Bryant was in the locker room, on the field, you know, hugging motherfuckers, but they said Dez Bryant tested positive for COVID but had no interactions.
Yeah, because apparently this is how it works. I found out watching the Pat McAfee show. Shout out to my man Pat McAfee, by the way. Crazy bastard. Love his ass. If you didn't see NXT War Games, definitely go watch it. Pay-per-view of the year next to WrestleMania. But all bullshit aside, I found out that the reason why all the Broncos quarterbacks were disqualified is because the one quarterback tested positive for COVID, the fourth stringer, and then went into a room with the other three quarterbacks, and they all had their masks down for 20 minutes. So they're just all in the same room, breathing in all this COVID and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Hanging on each other because, you know, quarterbacks are a little, you know, flamboyant.
Like, oh my God, stop. Oh, you're tapping each other all the time and shit. They're all breathing the COVID air and sniffing that shit, just inhaling all that COVID. You know what I'm saying? Like it was a smoke session, like they were hotboxing. They were hotboxing COVID in a room. That's what happened.
So, I'm picking the Panthers. Who are you picking?
The Panthers, because I don't know who's gonna get a positive COVID test on the Broncos by this game time. So,
but you gotta remember also the Panthers on their bye week, they came back with 9 fucking positive COVID tests.
I think the Panthers, as long as there's an actual quarterback playing, hell, Christian McCaffrey threw a ball or two in Stanford. I trust him more.
So next up, we have another Tank Bowl game. The Houston Texans at the Chicago Bears.
So at this point, if there's more than one Tank Bowl game, should we call it the Tank Offs? Because of,
no, because the Jets and the Jaguars already hold that crown.
They've only clinched a first round bye, okay?
So this game is not going to be pretty because Trubisky is starting again. I'm taking Houston.
Yes, because I don't trust the Chicago Bears.
At all.
At all.
Next up, we have the Arizona Cardinals taking on the team that just beat the Seattle Seahawks. The New York Football Giants and Danny Dimes might be back.
That means that if he's back, that means that Arizona's going to win. Because
I was taking Arizona because I know because they're getting Larry Fitzgerald back too. So
yeah, shout out to Larry Fitzgerald, by the way. Hell of a receiver, goddammit. Yeah, I'm taking the Cardinals.
All right. Go ahead. Stop fucking talking when I'm talking, goddammit. Next up, we have Tank Bowl. We have the Dallas Cowboys at the Cincinnati Bengals.
One team's not trying to tank. The other one has no choice because they sacrificed their quarterback to the gods.
But the Red Rifle is going back to Cincinnati.
So let me get this straight. So is this why they signed Andy Dalton? Because they knew that Dak Prescott was going to be hurt and they get to play the Bengals. Is this what is revenge game?
Well, I honestly think the Cowboys thought that the NFC East was so bad that they were going to have a winning record by this time and they were just going to start Andy Dalton for this game.
I mean, they were right. The NFC East was bad. The problem is that they're bad along with it. So
when the team leading a division doesn't have a name, you have a problem.
True. So I'm picking the Cowboys, but man, if these Bengals win,
then Andy Dalton will do what he always did in Cincinnati, and that's fail. All right, next up we have a decent game here, and this could potentially hurt the Raiders big time. We have the Colts at the Raiders.
Colts at the yes. So if the Raiders don't win this game, what there are they're 7-5,
they're,
right?
Yeah, they're on the bubble of being out of the playoffs.
Ooh. And I think 5 wins is what's gonna get you in. I think being 10-6 is gonna put you in a tiebreaker situation that you don't want to be in. But the Colts are the Colts. Listen, I'm gonna have to take the Colts in this one, bro.
Colts are trying to fend off Tennessee. So
yeah, well, exactly. I think that's more consequential. I think the Colts are coming in to win. The Colts are the better team than me anyway. So
yep, I got the Colts in this one because whenever the Raiders have played a decent defense, they have not played well.
Not at fucking all.
Mm-mm. All right. Next up, we have oh my god, this one should be a blowout. But after what happened with Seattle last week, who knows? The New York Jets at the Seattle Seahawks.
Is Colt McCoy going to dress up for the Jets?
No, Sam Darnold is back to starting quarterback. Colt McCoy is on the – oh, yeah, he's on the Giants. That's why he said it. My bad.
That's what I said. So, that's it. Unless Colt McCoy's playing, the Jets are losing another one, my friend.
I think this is going to be DK all day. That's what this is going to be.
Listen, you better get like 30 targets. You know what I'm saying? If Russell Wilson throws it 30 times, DK Metcalf better catch all 30 of them. You call it ESPN 30 for 30. Oh! Hey!
DKPN?
Yeah, DKPN.
All right, we got the Seahawks in that one. Next up, we have the Packers at Detroit. This is an interesting game. Because I think the Packers can clinch the division if they win this game, but they always seem to have issues in Detroit now.
Yeah, even though Detroit's not that good of a team, Detroit is playing like they give zero fucks at this point, which is very dangerous for any team that has to play them. So, I'm still picking the Packers, but shit, that's a tough one. It doesn't sound tough. But I'm picking the Packers, and it's tough for me to pick the Packers.
I'm taking the Packers also. All right, next up we have the two teams who have blown more double-digit leads this season than the prior 10 seasons combined, the Falcons at the Chargers.
Oh.
Does Justin Herbert get his fourth win of his career?
You know what? I'm picking the Chargers. Let me tell you why. Because the Falcons' defense is nowhere near as good as Bill Belichick's defense, okay? Let's just start there. But the main thing is that Justin Herbert is the comeback kid that seems that can't complete the comeback. The Falcons are extremely vulnerable at blowing leads. So it's kind of one of those things that what if it does happen, it's going to happen last minute, Justin Herbert winning the game, probably in a tremendous comeback.
All right. I got the Chargers also. Next up, we have the Washington defaults. Alex Smith's return to San Francisco.
Ooh. Ooh, this is the first time he's been there in a minute because even when he was on the Chiefs, he didn't play in San Francisco. because he seemed to have been injured each time that it was about to happen. I am calling.
Okay, I will say it first. Mm-hmm. I got the defaults because their defense is better.
Fine. I'm picking the defaults.
Are you sure? Yes. All right. Next up, we have Taysom Hill is undefeated as starting quarterback, taking on Jalen Hurst in his first career start for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Doug Peterson wants to prove a point and say that Jalen Hurts is going to get them to the promised land.
What, I'd say better draft pick next year?
No. Remember, they still have a shot of winning the division. An outside
the Giants
shot.
And, the Giants and defaults are both 2.5 games ahead of them.
What if I told you at the beginning of this season that the Giants and the defaults were going to be the two best teams in the NFC East?
Well, I would have called you a damn fool because Dak Prescott was healthy at the beginning of the season.
And Carson Wentz was still functional?
Yes.
And then Chase Young killed him and murdered him and took his soul, and that kind of set the tone for the rest of the season?
He just have no soul, so he couldn't take it.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah, so I am not taking the Eagles. I want Doug Peterson to fail miserably. So I'm not taking the Eagles. I'm taking the Saints. It'll be a blowout, and I pray that that Doug Peterson gets fired really soon. And I'm not joking about that one either. I am. I'm not
taking the Saints also. They're too high-powered, and the Eagles are trash at the run stoppage. So
sounds fair to me.
All right, next up for the Sunday night matchup, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh. I'm glad we're finally on this game. What we've been waiting for.
The suspect undefeated has-nots against a good team.
So, I am taking the Bills in this one. I thought we need to prove that the Steelers aren't who we think they are. Or we actually to prove that they are who we thought they were, which is not as good as their record says.
They're good. They're just not as good as their record was.
Yeah, exactly.
We said it about the Packers a couple years ago, and it came true in the playoffs when they got obliterated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm taking the Bills in this one. The Bills, to me, are still a better team.
I got the Bills also. They need to pull away from Miami to secure the AFC East. So,
could you imagine? Real quick. Could you imagine if the Bills lose and the Dolphins lose and then the Patriots?
I will not take your hope because every time you try to give hope to a team, everybody gets hurt.
No.
Every goddamn time.
2 weeks ago, you didn't believe in the Patriots were going to win. I believed in them. I said they were going to win. And what happened? They won.
But, Mr. Oh, San Francisco, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Then 28 players are sacrificed to the injury gods of the NFL.
A soul for a soul, because right now in the preseason, the Golden State Warriors are lighting it up, okay? A soul for a soul.
It's not going to happen because Steph Curry can't carry a team by himself. So next up, we have the Baltimore Ravens trying to keep their playoff hopes alive by going against and at the Cleveland Browns.
Remember when Baltimore had only lost one game?
Oh, no. Remember, Baltimore beat the shit out of the Browns earlier this year.
Like I said, remember when Baltimore was 5-1? It seemed like good times, right?
Yeah.
So now, the Browns weren't looking so good at the beginning of the season when they played. And Baltimore was looking like a top-tier team. Now, the Browns are looking like a top-tier team, and the Ravens are looking not so good. My, how the turntables.
The tables have turned. Now, how the turntables,
Mark. How the turntables, that's right.
And last time they played, Odell Beckham was healthy, and Baker Mayfield was trying to force the ball to him every play.
Yes. So there's none of that. I think the Browns actually win this game in typical Browns fashion, which is putting every single player that they have on their team on the field and having them gain yardage.
Oh, what's crazy about the Browns is they've had some horrible losses, but it's only been three of them.
And one of them was to the Ravens, unfortunately.
I'm picking the Browns, too. And you got anything else to add, my friend?
One, the sandwich I ate was really good.
Yeah, I could tell.
Two, I was really hungry because I didn't eat shit all day. Like, literally, I'm not even joking about that. I didn't eat shit all day. That's why I really needed to eat during the show.
You always eat during the show.
Snacks sometimes. And once in a while, a good meal. So, I do have something to add. Let me finish this last piece of bread. Hold on. Don't look at me like that. I mean, okay, you can look at me like that. Anyways, baby, come back. Oh, no. You can blame it all on me.
Oh, I do.
So we have, this is the last 4 weeks of the season. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to savor it. Well, after this, it's going to be 3 weeks. So, ladies and gentlemen, I need you to savor it. I need you to enjoy it. COVID football has been a rare sight to see. When the historians look back upon this time, and they look back at a 70-year-old Hollywood Jay Black and 71-year-old Big Sin, 30 years from now, they said, how did you survive COVID? We'll say we had bubble basketball and pandemic football, okay?
And bubble hockey.
Where we see the St. Louis Cardinals, who didn't even complete a whole entire season, somehow make it into the playoffs.
Where we saw the Dodgers actually not choke in the World Series.
Yes. And we saw the Tampa Bay Lightning finally seal the deal after blowing it for the past 3 years.
Hi, we're the best team in hockey during the regular season. We're the Peyton Manning of the NHL.
The best team in hockey during the regular season. The best team until they have to play the Washington Capitals. That's all been fixed. And finally, the Los Angeles Lakers in all of their infinite glory and high payroll, up to and including LeBron and AD, have won a championship. So when history looks back upon us and they look upon Big Sin and Hollywood Jay Black, just remember, we were here for you when you didn't even want us, okay? That's right. But that's okay, because we still love you nonetheless. Now, Big Sin, is there anything you'd like to say before we bounce up out of here so they can enjoy the rest of their evening? Get your grub on. Get your grub on. Everybody, get your grub on. Get your grub on.
In the rare instance, I'm actually eating during one of these videos. If you're ever on YouTube, please like, comment, and subscribe. Ring that bell so you know when the Overtime Sports Show and Sinful Black Reacts drops. If you're on Facebook, like and follow. We have the podcast out there. Just look up Sinful Black on the podcast, wherever you find your podcast, and our podcast will pop up also.
That's right. Make sure you find us, fondle us, touch us, feel us, rub on your nipples for us, because we love you. But until next time, ladies and gentlemen, that's my man Big Sin over there. We switch places now. I'm your boy Hollywood Jay Black. This is the Overtime Sports Show. We are out this thing. Deuces.